spanning the Valley of the Sun and all across the 48th state. This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
Happy, happy, happy Friday. Chad's got the day off. The wise man, Steve Zinsmeister's hanging out with me. Wise man,
what's up?
Will you be going and grabbing some Bud Light at Target this weekend?
I feel like that's a loaded question.
It's a very loaded question.
I understand it, too.
Most of the week, we've kind of been discussing what has turned out to be a debacle for Target. You know, they put a lot of this LGBTQ, I guess, T-shirts and mugs.
Products,
and
yeah.
Queer is cool, and they've got all that kind of stuff, and there was a backlash. There was a backlash. And so I think they lost $9 billion in 1 week. And so what are we seeing here? We're seeing Target and Bud Light and the Dodgers and Disney. They've all kind of been backed into a corner over their support for the LGBT community. And as I've always said, listen, I support the LGBT community, but I'm not going to wear a shirt that says, you know, whatever they're selling. I'm just not going to, I'm not buying it. I'm not going to wear it. It's not me. I feel uncomfortable. And, you know, a lot of people who are against this stuff at Target, it doesn't mean that they don't like them. It doesn't mean that they're anti-LGBTQ, you know, BTQ. It means, hey, Target, why are you getting into politics? I'm here to buy some shoes. You know what I mean? I'm here to buy some grocery. I'm here to buy this. So, you know, we see a lot of these, you know, companies that are saying, okay, we're going to get political. And a lot of people don't like it. I look at it like this. Remember a few years ago when Trump got involved with Kaepernick and the kneeling and the national? I didn't like that. Leave the politics out of my football. Yeah. And I say that to Kaepernick and I say it to Trump. So no one's learned anything. Nobody's learned anything. They continue to do this. And at the end of the day, you know, it actually hurts the LGBTQ community.
Yeah, and tomorrow, next week, next month, it'll probably be another company making a similar decision that doesn't end up coming through on their bottom line. It's a business decision, right? Because these are all businesses, Bud Light, Target,
whatever.
Yeah,
but if it was a business decision, they wouldn't have done it because business decisions that you make don't lose $9 billion.
They might not have made the decision because of business, but it is business in the end, whether it's positive business or in this case negative
business.
They
lost business, right?
And it's an equation. You know, are we going to gain more people coming into our store by trying to appeal to an LGBTQ positive group of people?
Okay.
Are we trying to appeal to them? Are we going to gain new people in our stores?
Why don't you say that?
Versus who are we losing by aggravating them by talking about this?
Here's who they tried.
That's a real equation.
Here's who they tried to gain. LGBTQ people in the United States collectively represent about $1 trillion a year, almost $900 billion. So let's just run. It's about $1 trillion in annual purchasing power.
Sure.
And so Target looks at that and says, and it's not because they're for the LGBT community. Not necessarily. They're doing it because they wanted to make money and they thought that this would bring them in and then you'd have some of this purchasing power.
But here's
what it did was it turned, you know, half of the people that walked in and turned them off.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
Were LGBTQ people not going to Target to begin with?
Maybe they thought that they weren't and we needed to bring them in.
Was there a reason that they didn't like Target to begin with? I don't think there was. I don't think there was any particular reason that the people in that community said, I'm not going to Target.
But when
you gave them what they wanted, you also at the same time aggravated a bunch of other people. I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying I feel that way.
Yeah.
But it's true. Mm. You did. You made a business decision, and in the end, their bottom line looks worse off for it.
Yeah, their business decision was, let's try and make money off of the LGBTQ community. Because roughly there's $1 trillion up there and we could siphon some of that money, and it backfired because now they've ticked off some people who walked in and didn't like it. And it also ticked off the LGBTQ community because when they took down the display or they put it in the back of the store, it ticked them off too. So a lot of this has to do with money. And it's that $1 trillion in annual purchasing power that the LGBTQ community has.
See, and you keep
and
bringing
they wanted
up
a piece
the,
of that.
You keep bringing up the $1 trillion in purchasing power. Mm. That's a great statistic and everything, but how much of that was already going towards Target? that's the piece that's missing here is I don't think that there was any reason for those people not to be shopping there already. Is that a trillion new dollars that Target could tap into? I don't think so.
Yeah, but if you say...
I don't think so. I think they were already going to Target.
Not
like the
all
rest
of them,
of
but they were basically saying, hey, we support you guys, so make sure you come and shop here.
Totally. And they might have gained people doing right. that. But you have to weigh that against how many people are going to choose not to come here anymore because we took a side.
Well, they blew it.
It's the same reason Michael Jordan never took a side politically.
Yeah,
Republicans
people,
buy shoes, too.
Yeah, people wanted Jordan to endorse political campaigns all the time in his
Always.
Heyday. And he never did it. Because what would happen? Maybe part of the maybe half the country wouldn't buy his shoe anymore.
And you know what? He's a darn good businessman.
Yeah.
Made a lot of money.
How's everybody doing out there on the roads? We were listening to Detour Dan a little bit earlier. What did we have? A 22-mile backup on the I-17?
Whoa.
So a lot of you are heading up north. I had some friends, I've gotten some texts I had some friends headed to Rocky Point. And usually that's about a 3.5-hour drive. It took them 6 hours.
Oh.
So I think I had a couple friends go to the airport. Gatos, it is packed. I think we're seeing something that we haven't seen in many years. And that's a huge number of people that are going on vacation for Memorial Day. So the airlines are packed. You've got the roads packed up north. You've got the roads packed to go to Rocky Point.
Heading north, heading south, heading to the airport, every direction.
We've got about 1 million Arizonans ready to hit the road or the skies.
Yep.
And overall, 37 million Americans travel. I'm just trying to wonder, when's the best time to travel? Because today doesn't look like it.
No, actually. In fact, AAA put out something I was reading earlier where the best time to travel was yesterday.
Why didn't you tell people that yesterday,
or
wise man?
Before noon today. Either one of those yeah. has passed. So if you're not on the roads by now, you yeah. kind of missed the window.
Well, and isn't it interesting? Because gas prices are still at $5 a gallon, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
And we're still going on vacation. Now,
yeah.
that wasn't the case last year. A lot of people said, nope. I'm not going to Rocky Point. I'm not going to California. I'm not going up north. I'm not paying that money. This year, they're paying that money. What's the difference? What happened? We're just another year separated from COVID?
I think we didn't go anywhere because of COVID. Everyone understood that. Then it was inflation and all the costs and everything last year. I think we're growing tired of finding reasons not to live our lives.
Yeah.
And in 2023, we're like, you know what? We're doing it. We're not gonna sit around at home anymore. We've done that
smart.
For the last 2 or 3 years.
Smart, smart. All right, it is time for Five Spot. This is where we put you on the spot about a news story everybody's talking about. So here's what we're going to do. We do this every Friday before Memorial Day. We've done this for a while. I mean, going into Memorial Day weekend, how grateful are all of us for the men and women who served in uniform across the globe and gave their lives for our freedom, the freedom of others. And what we want to ask you on Five Spot is, who are you remembering this weekend for Memorial Day? 602-277-5827. I love to hear about, you know, someone will call in and tell us about a family member and tell their story. And you don't get to do that all the time, but you get to do that right now. It's Memorial Day on Monday. Who are you remembering this weekend? Give us their name. Tell us their story. 602-277-5827. Five Spot is coming up next.
I got five on it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Five Spot with Gatos and Chad. Brought to you by Parker & Sons, Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau.
All right, time for Five Spot. We put you on the spot about a news story everybody's talking about. So Memorial Day on Monday. We remember those who lost their lives fighting for our country. And, you know, this is kind of your opportunity to call in and tell us maybe a family member, maybe a friend that you're going to be remembering on Memorial Day. Your phone number is 602-277-KTAR. Tell us their story. Tell us their story. 277-5827. I think we all realize this isn't, you know, a three-day weekend that's just about barbecue and having a drink. Or it's about remembering, you know, those who lost their lives fighting for us. And how important is that? And they're doing things that, you know, I'll just be honest, I could never have done. Never. No, not good enough. Here's Mike in Peoria, 277-5827. Mike, who are you remembering?
Hi. Yes, I'd like to remember my dad. He's actually still alive right now, but he's actually in the hospital right now. He's a Vietnam veteran. He served from 1969 to 1970. He's a Purple Heart recipient. He was wounded by a mortar round that landed in a rice paddy as he was grabbing his friends and trying to get him onto the chopper to get out of the landing zone.
Oh.
And he's been in the hospital this past week with some heart issues. So I wanted to make sure we gave him a shout out and let him know that I love him and I appreciate his service and the example he set for me being a patriot.
Cool, man. Give him a hug for us. We hope he's going to be okay.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much for letting me give him a shout out.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's kind of that's what it's all about. If you have somebody you want to remember, by all means, 277-KTAR. Here is Tim up next on KTAR. Tim, who are you going to remember?
Hey, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I've got a fellow flight school class member lost his life in a helicopter training accident during flight school, Mark Hitzig. He had a wife and two daughters, and he was a very good friend of mine.
Oh my.
Just want to remember him on this day.
That's great, man. That's great. All right, 277-KTAR. Wise man's in for Chad. Yeah, it's somber, man. It really is. It's a somber, you know, 3-day weekend. I mean, we all like that we don't have to necessarily go to work on a Monday. But you have to remember, well, who went to work for this country? And some people didn't make it out. You know, I was talking to Mike Broomhead today. Mike Broomhead's brother died 20 years ago, I think tomorrow, in Iraq at war. Tom. And every time right around this year, Mike and I talk about this. It's a hard time for him. And, you know, you lose your brother. My goodness. It's an unspeakable amount of pain. And he goes through it every year. And, you know, I like how Mike does it. He calls his brother's platoon, calls some of the people, some families. And that's how he, you know, I think we have to remember there are people out there that are going to really, they're going to be suffering on Monday. They're going to be thinking of the people that they lost. They're going to be remembering the people that they lost. And it's not just a barbecue day.
Yeah, and for Mike too, you know, on a personal level, that's his brother. But you talk about the platoon and what they choose to do to honor Mike's brother. They actually go every year, he said, to Colorado where his resting place is.
I think his brother's platoon goes.
Yeah.
And yeah.
They celebrate together all the time. I say celebrate, remember his brother, obviously. I mean, this is Mike's brother, but he was their brother too.
No doubt.
That's what's so cool about the story to me.
Yeah. Here's Christopher on 5 spot on KTAR. Christopher, who are you remembering this weekend?
I'm remembering my brother, Mark Lee. He was a Navy SEAL that was killed in Iraq in 2006.
Oh, my gosh. How do you do Monday? You remember?
It's a pretty somber time. We take time out of the day to remember not only him, but the other guys. But we also do some things that are fun and enjoyable. Because that's what my brother wants to do.
What do you remember most from your brother? What's the one thing that always hits your mind?
He was always my most fierce competitor growing up. And even I was Marine Corps, he was Navy. And even as adults, we constantly go back and forth on football was better, soccer was better,
yeah.
Marine Corps is better, Navy's better. So I really miss that.
All right, man. We'll be thinking about you and your brother this weekend.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for the calls on 5 Spot. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. But my goodness, these warriors, these men and women that went and did their thing and fought for us, my goodness, we owe them everything. Coming up next, traveling by plane on Memorial Day? Yeah, maybe you are. Well, make sure the guy next to you doesn't open the stinking door in the middle of the flight. We'll talk about it next.
The Gatos and Chad Show, afternoons.
There are two really weird airline stories that we have to get to. The first one is, did you see the Southwest pilot who had to crawl into the cockpit window?
Yeah, he accidentally locked his keys inside.
I don't know.
He had to crawl in through the cockpit window.
What do you mean you have to crawl in through the cockpit window?
I don't know, he got locked out. I don't know how that happened.
He got locked out? Yeah. How do you get locked out of a plane? So he wound up crawling through the cockpit window after a customer inadvertently locked the flight deck door.
Who lets the customers do that?
I don't know. So there was a passenger getting ready to board, saw the and this passenger saw the plane's pilot crawling through the window. Do you say something? I'm saying something. I'm thinking, I don't know if that's the pilot.
Well,
I know he's dressed like the pilot.
Right. He's wearing a uniform.
No one gets into a plane like, you know, this. I'm aging myself, like Bo and Luke Duke did in Dukes of Hazzard when they got into the General Lee. They got in through the window. The door didn't open.
I mean, he was also helped up. I mean, you can't just get into the front of an airplane. Like, you know how high up that is.
I know.
You can't just get up there. So he had one of those guys on the tarmac help him get up to the cockpit window to climb
in. I didn't
in.
Even know in the cockpit you could open a window.
I don't think you're supposed to.
Well, he did. So I'm looking at a picture of this. You know, in some airports, you actually walk onto the tarmac. You know, you walk towards the plane, and then there's the stairs that you take up directly into the plane. These stairs that the pilot took went directly into an open window into the cockpit.
Bingo. Haven't you ever had to climb in the window of your car?
Of course.
You left your keys in there, or for some reason your door sticks.
It's not good. If you think that's bad, it's not as bad as this story. You know, you're enjoying a flight. It's a nice flight. Some guy gets up and says, you know what? I'm going to open that door. I'm going to open that commercial plane door right during the flight.
The door, the emergency exit door.
Somebody did this in South Korea. It was an Airbus jet carrying 194 people. Here's the deal. You got a guy that's sitting in the emergency seat row, opens the door when the aircraft was about 700 feet from the ground and nearly 2 minutes from landing. He opens the door. Now, first of all, I was always told it's impossible to open the door.
That's what I thought.
Physics, all that stuff I know nothing about and didn't take in school. You just can't do it. You can't push the door open. It's impossible.
Yeah,
it's too heavy.
So it's pressure. It's pressure. The average door, emergency exit door on an airplane is 6 feet tall, 3.5 feet wide.
Okay.
That means that door, any emergency air door, when pressurized in the cabin, is facing approximately 24,000 pounds of pressure.
See, that's
You would have to open that 24,000 pounds. A human person cannot do that.
That's how I wanted to explain it, but didn't have the knowledge to do so.
You're welcome. So, I got you covered. Now, that's at 36,000 feet. Now,
right.
This is, what did you say, 700 feet above the ground?
Yeah.
You're still moving at hundreds of miles per hour.
But apparently you can do it.
I don't believe the story almost.
Okay, so what do you think happened?
I don't know. Did they stage this in a warehouse and they shot the video? I don't know.
Come on, conspiracy theorist.
You think? I don't know. We just talked about how impossible it is to open the door.
It's got to be different if you're 700 feet above and not 35,000.
I'm thinking there's still a ton of pressure.
Well, yeah, maybe the guy's strong. The video was of course, there's a video. It was shot by someone sitting three rows behind the emergency exit aisle. Man, I mean, you get a great, you know, awesome seat like that. You get some more room,
tons
right?
Tons of leg room.
But then you get a guy who opens the door. I'm just going to tell you, I'm choking this guy out.
If he didn't jump out already.
Well, if I see a guy. I'm just saying, if I'm sitting there and I see the guy start going for the door, I'm not waiting. I'm going to choke you. I'm going to put a WWE sleeper hold on you.
So I guess part of the good thing is they were on their descent. They were on the way down. Like
right.
I said, you're only 700 feet or whatever above the ground.
Right.
So for that reason, at least you were landing. At least they didn't do it when you were taking off and you're going to be stuck there for a while.
Right, exactly.
But on the flip side, because they were landing, that's why nobody was able to get to the guy to stop him.
It's
because all the pilots are busy, obviously, landing the plane, hopefully.
Right.
And the crew was already tucked away and they're in their seatbelts and everything.
12 injured.
Yeah.
Guy opens
a lot of people couldn't breathe.
Emergency door. Yeah. Some people's ears started to hurt. The severe ear pain. And there's video of it. There are people like holding on and crying and screaming for dear life because it's, let me just say, in the cabin, a bit windy when that door opens.
I would think so.
Yeah.
You're going hundreds of miles per hour.
Yeah. That's why I sit in the emergency aisle seat. I make sure that nobody's going to open the door because I will whoop your butt. Plus, I'm 6'1", and I need a little bit of room.
You know how at the beginning of the flight, they say, are you comfortable with opening the emergency exit if you have to?
Yeah.
Maybe they should start asking, are you going to try to open the emergency hatch without anybody's permission?
I wonder what the punishment
is. You should check with everybody.
Do you go to jail for that?
Oh, it's illegal.
Oh, I'm sure it's illegal.
It's illegal to try to open it.
Yeah.
Let alone actually opening it.
You shove the guy out, If you open him, shoving you out.
Supposedly, he tried to jump out. I don't know why he was unsuccessful, but...
Well, listen, you know, it's one of those things. I know it sounds horrible. If that guy went up there to commit suicide, you're going to take me with you? You're going to get a whole bunch of other people killed?
Well, why did he wait until the descent?
I'm kicking him out.
If his goal was to jump off the airplane, why didn't he do it mid-flight instead of late?
It's like
flight.
What we said. I don't think you could do it. The physics doesn't allow you to do it. But I'm probably with my foot shoving that guy out the plane.
You're like, all right, see ya.
See ya. Yeah.
Then it's up to you to close the door, Gatos.
It's crazy. All right, coming up next, are Americans more confident about who they won't vote for than who they will vote for? Wise man's in for Chad. Stick around.
This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
All right, thanks for joining us. Maybe you're on the way out of town. Detour Dan is around. Becky Lynn is around. Our entire news team is around. And we'll get you the latest traffic and everything, because going up north, I know it's tough. There's a ton of miles of backup.
Going north, going south.
Gosh.
People going west, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Probably not east. Maybe not. Nobody goes east.
No.
Not really.
There's something that I've talked about for a long time. Nobody votes for anybody anymore. Like, if there's a candidate out there, most people are like, I'm not voting for that person because I like that person. I'm just voting against the other person. So it's basically, as Americans, we've grown to do this on Election Day. We're more confident about who we won't vote for than who we will vote for.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
How many of you out there voted for Katie Hobbs, not because you liked Katie Hobbs, but because you knew that, well, I don't even think I have to explain myself.
Ooh, me.
Yeah, I don't even think you, I have to explain myself.
Me.
Yeah, I don't. Right. There are a lot of you. I mean, you know, even in the last presidential race.
Yep.
How many Arizonans said, you know what, I'm Republican and I'm not voting for anybody. I'm going to leave it blank, but I'm going to vote rest of the ballot. And many of you Republicans didn't vote for Trump and you didn't vote for Biden. And ultimately, that helped Joe Biden, especially in Arizona. I think it's come to, it's like, you know, like, who's excited about Joe Biden? Like, even Democrats aren't excited about Joe Biden. There was a poll, 40% of Democrats say, I don't even want to back him in the primary. And then you get over to the has-been Donald Trump. Well, I know that he's got a core, you know, group of followers. But most of you Republicans would rather see some new blood in there. I know that.
Well, we do know one thing. Polling has shown that Trump supporters are much more loyal to him than Biden supporters are.
Well, how'd that work in 2020?
It didn't.
No,
it didn't go great.
How'd it work in 2022? It didn't work either.
The real important question is, how is it going to work in 2024, assuming that those two gentlemen end up being the nominees, which is a big assumption at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Biden is so bad that even Republicans who don't like Trump are thinking of voting for Trump again. And you were the people that left him off the ballot the last time. But Biden is so bad, may have to go back for Trump.
New polling from Monmouth University shows that if it were to be Biden and Trump in the upcoming 2024 presidential election.
Which I don't think it will.
But let's say that it is.
Uh-huh.
About 45% of people polled say that they definitely will not vote for either one of them. 45%, almost half of people. By comparison, 3 in 10, so what is that, roughly 30%, say that they definitely would support either candidate, either one of them.
Mm.
So there are 1.5 times as many people who say, I ain't voting for either of them, as there are people saying, yeah, I'm definitely voting for that guy.
Here's the poll that I know. 5% of Americans want to see that matchup, and that's it. 95% of us don't want to see the matchup. That's an actual number. I'm not just throwing that out. An actual poll said only 5% of America wants to see that rematch. So let's do something about it. Let's not vote for either of those two guys. All right. Cardinals wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins was cut today. How do you get cut from the Cardinals? This team might not win a game next year, and you get cut? How do you get cut? He's the best player in this. How do you cut the best player in the team? I got to tell you, just another reason why I knew I made the right decision not renewing my season tickets. This team is a mess from top to bottom. Kyler Murray's not going to even play for the first half. Maybe the entire season. Remember, this is a guy that doesn't want to play with like a hangnail. If I'm a little bit hurt, I'm going to sit out. That's what he's done his whole career. If I'm a little bit hurt, I'm not 100%. I'm going to sit out. Okay. And now you've got DeAndre Hopkins, who's, you know, he's clearly the best player on the team. You know, he was out. First of all, he screwed the Cardinals last year, out six games because of something he put in his...
He took a substance he wasn't supposed to.
Stupid. And then at the end of the year, he gave up on the team. I'm not 100% healthy.
Chose not to play when you guys lot of people thought he was able to.
He was totally able to play. And so he bailed. He quit on the team in the two games at the end of the season. But, you know, listen, as a Cardinals fan, this just shows me that the team is like, we don't even want... I'm just going to... This Cardinals team reminds me of the movie Major League with the Cleveland Indians. Remember at the beginning of the movie, they brought all these people in. You just had no idea who they are.
Scrubs.
Yeah.
Replacement players, basically. They were trying to tank the team so that the owner could make a case for, we need to relocate to Miami.
Right. And it was a great movie, and I'm not saying they're trying to relocate or even tank it.
Yeah.
They don't have to tank it. They're so bad they're going to
lose.
Well,
I wouldn't say they're trying to tank it.
No,
but
I don't think they're trying to. Clearly making it
a point that next season may not be a good one.
No, next season they may win a game.
Because you're losing a good player.
Mm-hmm.
You're choosing basically the way the money works out here by making this decision the way that they did today.
Yeah, but we got new uniforms, so who cares, right?
They're paying all the money now instead of paying it over the course of the next two seasons.
Yeah, but as a fan, I don't care. I'm not going to see DeAndre Hopkins, and that sucks.
But you would care because 2 years from now, if you're still paying DeAndre Hopkins to not be on your team, that stinks.
I might not be a Cardinals fan in 2 years.
They might not be. You might not be.
Yeah. I mean, who knows?
But they're banking on the fact that they're going to be a lot better 2 years from now than they would be this season with Hopkins.
You can't be any worse.
Right now, they're projected to have the top two picks in the draft next year. Both of them.
No.
Yeah. Because they traded for the Houston Texans' first-round pick. And the Houston Texans are also pretty bad.
So if they're really... So if those two... the Cardinals and Houston, let's say, finish dead last and second to last, the Arizona Cardinals get the one and the two?
Bingo.
Wow.
And
that's
here's
awesome.
Another factor.
Okay, I'm a fan again.
Here's another factor. There is a really great quarterback coming in the next class. Caleb Williams, USC.
Yeah, dump Kyler. Let's get a new guy in here. I'm ready.
You could, in theory, dump Kyler in his $250 million contract you just gave him last year.
I'm all in.
And get a much cheaper option at number one overall.
Okay.
And whoever you want at number two.
Yeah.
Really good receiver prospect coming out, too.
I don't know.
All I know is Hopkins.
I'm not going to see DeAndre Hopkins. And, like, honestly, some of you who are going to go to these games, you're going to be like, I don't know who that is.
He'll go play with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. He'll win a Super Bowl, probably.
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins, not good enough to play for the Cardinals, but he's probably going to go to, like, the Buffalo Bills, the Eagles, maybe Kansas City.
Worked out pretty good for him, huh?
I think it did.
And he makes his money.
All right, coming up, Becky Lynn, 5 minutes. She's got the KTAR. 5 o'clock, news expansion. Stick around.